If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
It's time for a song, solid time working. For a song.
Time for a song, time for a song.
Q&A.
Can you do a polka dot song for
Adam.
Me?
Adam.
Polka dot? God.
Polka dot Adam. Bikini.
Go,
skin.
Go,
polka
come on, sing. Go, go.
I can't do it.
Come on, bro.
I can't do it. I just
can't.
Weenie,
he makes me so mad.
Polka dot bikini.
Make me so mad just because you don't
want
to sing.
No, I do want dude, with all my heart, I want to sing.
With all my heart, I want to sing. It's a sad day.
I know.
Bro, I would, dude.
Do
I would,
your best.
I. You know what? I would give up one of my nuts to be able to have a voice like
no,
Justin's.
No, you wouldn't.
And then you'd only have two left.
I went, yeah, exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. And I'd be normal with a great voice.
Why don't you donate that extra testicle to science?
In case I ever need it. Backup. Wouldn't you like to have a backup of every body part you have?
A backup nut?
Yeah.
Do you know what happens when you lose a ball? Do you know what happens?
Nothing.
The other ball then produces the testosterone that the one that's gone was producing. So you actually, your testosterone levels remain normal.
Isn't that strange? We have a few things in our body that we don't need to have both of them, that we can, our bodies can.
Well, function. I just think how it's just fascinating, the wonder and the amazingness of the testicles. The fact that one of them could just pick up, like, it'd be like if I lost an arm, my left arm, like if I left lost my left arm, my right arm all of a sudden became so good at doing everything that it would be like I never
lost
super, my left
arm. It becomes as strong as both arms.
Nothing in your body,
so awesome.
Nothing in your body does that, but your balls. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's special.
That is kind of special.
That's special if you ask me.
Special balls. I got three of them. I got three special balls. I got three special balls.
He's singing.
I got three.
He's singing.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was close to harmony.
Hey, you know what? I
song about balls. Of course he's going to sing.
Yeah.
Three special ones.
I got three special balls. My name is Adam.
Hey, Adam.
What?
Your hair's... Your hair is fucking awesome right
tomorrow,
now.
Tomorrow I get
What'd you do to your hair, dude?
Tomorrow I get a haircut. So, you know, come on. You guys can help me out here and relate to me. You know what it's like.
You look like Ted.
I'm overdue a little bit, okay?
But is there anything in your hair? Because it's like malleable. If you move it to the left, it all sticks up in that direction.
Well, this is how this would happen.
Or is that just natural gel?
No, this is how this is what happens when you start to lose all your hair and it's really thin. This is what happens, bro. Because back when
you
I had
to manipulate it.
No, it's weak.
It goes off on its own.
He said it's weak.
It's really sad. Dude.
It just decides different things.
I used to be the kid who used to go get his hair cut, and like the hairstylist lady, whoever it was, as
your
a
hair's
kid.
So thin.
Oh, your hair. Oh, you have beautiful. Full thick hair. Oh, you're so lucky. Oh,
what do they say now?
Oh, you know what they say now? They don't say shit. And then I go like, hey, does it look like I'm thinner than the last time I was here? They're like,
no,
you look about the same.
Those liars.
I'm like, yeah, now you guys are lying to me. You guys are hate you guys. for the longest time I was in denial, you know, and then that day happened.
Did you see the hair on the pillow stuff?
No, the first time I ever saw me losing hair or thought that I was thinning was after shampooing one time. And I saw a couple of strands of hair in my hand and I'm like, what the fuck? Then you're like checking the shampoo bottle, make sure you didn't put like acid in your head. They're like, what did I just put in here? It says fucking Head and Shoulders. I don't understand. It should be fine.
I didn't put the Nair on my head.
Yeah, I didn't put the Nair here.
I'm losing mine too, but to a far less smaller degree than you are.
Thanks, Dick.
It's doing the widow peaky thing.
It's a little bit in the back, maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
There's
nothing wrong with losing your hair, bro.
Oh, bro.
You're fine. Oh. You're fine.
You just took my Monday to another level right now. You know, there's phases of this where, and I'm not through the phase where it's okay yet. Like, I'm like, you know, I've watched my two best friends.
Are you hoping that it'll come back or something?
Yeah, well, no, I'm beyond
oh,
the
glory days.
Yeah, that was about a year and a half ago. I was like,
you're just trying to stop it. Stop the process.
Yeah, well, no, a year and a half ago, it was like, you know, I could get it back. I could if I start buying these products that are going to help it regenerate and grow.
Bro, I'm telling you, Saul Palmetto shampoo.
It doesn't matter, bro.
It does.
No.
It does.
Everybody, you know what?
Everybody has a fucking.
This is why I'm. You know what? And if those that are listening right now, don't send me a bunch of your bullshit. That I don't want to hear,
dude. Maybe we could get sponsored by hair
dinosaur oil. Dude, yeah, I don't even want to hear your story. I don't want to hear it because everybody. This is why I don't like talking about this subject, because the moment I do talk about it, then all of a sudden my inbox is flooded. People trying to help me out, dude. Trying to help me out. Like, motherfucker, unless you can come over and grow fucking hair on my head right now, or let me borrow yours, you ain't helping me out.
What about minoxidil? Does that work?
Dude, I have researched every fucking pill and juice and goji thing and freaking special prayer that I'm supposed to do before bed. Like, I've done it all.
You know,
this guy started practicing alchemy.
Now, I heard that minoxidil will make hair grow anywhere, right? Like, you could put it on your, like, arm. Is that true?
I don't know.
Because how funny would it be if you took your friend's like shower gel and just put minoxidil on him? He just washes his body every day.
That would be pretty good.
All of a sudden, he's Sicilian. So Adam, you were going to talk about. You were going to talk about something other than. Than your androgenic alopecia.
I know. Androgenic alopecia. For some reason, I'm not losing it on my ass, though. You know, I got that, no problem. That's not going anywhere. In fact, I think that's getting furrier as I get older.
You think it's the hair transfer?
I feel like this is a confessional.
Sal got me hella depressed, dude. Talking about my head, dude. Fucking A.
Well, you saw my ass.
Closed chambers here.
Huh?
You said you saw my ass running down the hallway.
Yeah, it's plenty hairy, dude. Yeah, you're good there. Yeah. For some reason, you still got both going for you.
Mm-hmm.
lucky you. Lucky you. So,
ass hair is hair, bro.
The topic I did want to talk about, you know what? We're going to talk about fitness today.
What's that?
Yeah, we're going to talk about fitness today since we've been doing episodes that aren't fitness related so much. What I wanted to mention, and this is something that Justin, this is your wheelhouse, bro.
What?
I'm listening to, I want to say, Fighter and the Kid. I'm not 100% sure, so don't quote me.
Great show, by the way.
Yeah, love Fighter and the Kid. That's probably,
you
I would think.
Might all, be right.
That's think, the that's the best podcast.
I would say that's our favorite podcast besides ourselves. Because 90% of the time, if you get in the car,
yeah,
in Sal's car, he'll
narcissism.
Be listening to the other day, Sal and I are driving somewhere, and I'm wanting to listen to Fighter the Kid, and he gets like through, like, I've already heard this. No, I don't want to put on Mind Pump. I'm like, dude, you really want to listen to Mind Pump, bro?
We're so good.
I'm like, seriously?
We're so good. So what were they doing on the show? What were they talking about?
So they were talking about, I believe they were alluding to, though they didn't use the terminology of HRV training.
Okay.
They were talking about just the fighters, and you know, it's crazy where science is at, how much we've learned, and what we're doing as far as tracking and this and that.
Yeah, that's
like
the next metric.
Which I think it's, and this is why I wanted to talk about this, is I feel like maybe we haven't talked enough about this, because to me it's not. I mean, the fact that Fighter and Kid, they didn't even seem to know too much about it. We've talked about HRV before.
What does HRV stand for, Justin? Is it heart rate?
Yeah, variable training.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So,
yeah, explain that. You explained it. So I know very little about this.
Believe it or not,
Sal doesn't know.
It's fucking crazy, but it's reality.
So
go ahead and sit this one out there, Dr. Sal.
Yeah.
So HRV, yeah. Basically, like, I don't know how long ago, but like for whenever the Russians dominated like the Olympics for that time period, you know, they were testing their athletes all kinds of different ways. And I believe it stemmed from that.
Back in the 70s then.
I think it's even further than that. Yeah, I don't know. I think
60s?
It was, yeah, 60s.
Wow.
I'm guessing. This is me not totally Wikipedia-ing or anything right now.
Okay.
But basically, like, they came up with this. They used the EKG machine beforehand to track, you know, to kind of find out like where, you know, athletes when they were getting stressed or you know, just patterns as far as like, you know, what the heart rate was going through and all these things. So it's more based off of like this aggregated amount of data that you can use to find these patterns and find when it's optimal, you know, to rest versus to, you know, go ahead and perform at an intense pace.
Oh, shit, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So by measuring the, and I'm assuming the variability between heart or heart rhythm, they can determine
how
this
rested
person's,
you are.
Yeah, this person's rested, this person can train really
hard.
Exactly. And you know why that sounds awesome to me? Because before that or besides that, it's all subjective. And a lot of times athletes are like, I feel great. I know I've done that a million times. I'm going to go crazy.
That's why, I keep kind of bringing it up like subtly, like as we talk about things, because like it is, it's very interesting to me because it's a new metric. It's something that, inherently, I think a lot of athletes and other people that like lift constantly, they just know when their body tells them, like, it's that whole thing, your body's talking to you, mm-hmm. right? And that's really like the only sort of measure I can see applying to that.
That's because, like, that's, and it's objective.
And it's objective. You do have an actual number that they can that coordinate for you. So basically, and this is where my mind goes into like our programming of how we do things, right? Which totally falls in line with that because we're more focused on, performing, but then recovering and but also staying active. And so, for this to give me a number to say, hey, maybe I want to kind of use this as a trigger session or something like that today, that's interesting to me.
So how would, do they have any, are there any devices or any tools?
Yeah, they color, so, they have ones that color coordinate and stuff.
There's this great company, iThlete. ITH, leet. So mm-hmm. like, so you guys can like finish the rest of that. I'm talking to children. but basically they're able to kind of use modern day tools. So you got your iPhone and they had this jack that will basically sync up to a heart rate monitor. Like, so if it's a chest strap, I do believe they have a measure, so I think they might use LED with it to capture from your fingertip, or actually it's the flash from the camera. Oh, on your phone.
So you can, it's an app.
Mm-hmm.
Wow,
you have an app that will be able to communicate with whatever heart rate measuring device you've been using. Mm-hmm. So, and then you do it first thing in the morning, and you kind of find out where you're at as far as your HRV score. And then you proceed to work out accordingly. So,
dude, this is taking it to another level.
Oh, what's so badass about this is, I don't know if it's the same company Justin's talking about, where they make it very simple. So it's like red, yellow,
yes,
and then green.
Yeah, green
means you're like fully rested.
You're rested.
You're rested.
Ready to take on.
You're ready for your CrossFit workout.
Good workout. No.
I had to throw that in there. You're ready, but
you're very focused, specified workout. To help you advance.
At green, you're
good at something.
Get after it. Yellow, it's kind of like, okay, you've banged up a little bit, but you're still okay to go. But maybe that should not be your most intense workout of the week. And then red is you're probably better off resting than you are even going into.
So now this brings up some interesting questions for me. So. Some people would look at that and say, okay, always train, wait till you're in the green before you train hard. But there's something to be said about training when you're not fully recovered, or maybe not. Maybe that is the best time to train. I would like to see some studies behind this. You know what I'm saying? Saying the best time to train is actually in the yellow zone, or if you're in the yellow zone, you have to train at this intensity. If you're green, at this intensity. Because I think people always feel that they have to be fully recovered before they can work out, which is not true. You guys
know that. No, it's not true. And I don't think that you can use it just specifically like that. Like, okay. This is like the determiner of like, what your workouts are every time. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that it's more of a gauge. Like, it actually gives you a sort of barometer of like where you are. Mm-hmm. So you know that you might be lagging a bit today, but you're going to have to like overcome that in your workout. Is how I look at it, from that aspect. But it's just interesting because, like you said, there isn't a whole lot of like real lengthy study out there other than studies conducted that, are pretty recent. There's no long-term study. So it's nothing that...
Yeah, and plus you got to also take into consideration goals too. So it's very generic right now.
Yeah, there's a broad...
It's very, very, spectrum very, very...
Years from now, this is going to be pretty.
But that's why I'm so interested in it. Yeah, because it's
heading the right direction for sure.
It for sure is now trying to understand, like, and this is where I see technology really sort of applying to finally catch up to our human body. it's this biofeedback, you know, it's all this stuff that like, you're able to now like quantify all these different things, like, you know, whether it's steps, whether it's, you know, the amount of activity per day, it's calories.
Yeah.
It's,
before, you know, it was like you had to kind of rough eyeball.
Yeah. I mean, you really had to do a lot more groundwork. Like you had to write it all out and like, you'd have to go like, you know, to the grocery store, like wouldn't even give you accurate information because there weren't any laws or anything really for that. Mm-hmm. You know, they definitely have worked, on that and mm-hmm. it's gotten better, mm-hmm. You know, to reveal like quality information, but it's just, that's kind of the world that we're going towards. Like, it's going to be this thing now where like you're going to have a pretty good understanding of your own specific habits and your nature. And so, you know, to crack one little thing is going to be so much more beneficial to you. Because now, like, you see how that one thing, it's like this huge thing in the long term. And so if you can systematize, like, you know, your programming accordingly, you're really going to benefit. And I think that it's going to do us a lot of good. However, right now it's super distracting. And I feel like the mediums that it's using right now are very distracting. So, like, if I have to keep checking back to my phone back and forth and use it while I'm moving and all this kind of stuff, that doesn't work.
Right.
You know, so there's been advances with, you know, watches and things like that you're wearing, which is great and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it has to be automated. And so, you know, it's going to go in that direction. And sensors are going to become a part of everything.
So get ready. This brings me back to, and I know Doug's going to get mad at me for doing this because we're not supposed to refer to other episodes, but we did another episode this is where I was just talking about what I believe the future of the way we eat and consume and stuff is, because like you just said, we're the ability to quantify this, the biofeedback that we get right now. Right now it's all, yeah, I think I feel good, or, oh, I think that makes me feel this way, or, oh, I'm pretty sure whenever I eat this or do that, I'm this. Where, you know, in time, mm-hmm. well, you're going to know.
Yeah, we can test for intolerances and, like, get real specific with, and
that's what
DNA matching.
It makes me believe it'll be different. You know, you'll look at food, you'll look at things like that differently. Because we'll know right where right now there's still this debate about everything, where it's like, no, real soon here we're gonna be able to track and quantify all those things, and when we can, it's gonna be you'll I think the other end will look silly, the people that choose to continue to go being Americans and just eat whatever the fuck you want to eat and just, oh, everyone's gonna die anyway, so, you know, I'm gonna die enjoying myself, that attitude is gonna go away. We're like, well, hey, idiot, you have no idea that we could do this, this, and this. And if you just paid attention to that for the rest of your life, you actually could live not only a longer life, but probably a lot happier and healthier, you know, and a lot more functional. So, you know, I definitely see that. What I do see, though, and here, you know, here's your mind publishers. Here's a, you know, give you a heads up when this happens. When you do, when everyone does start to hear about it, you heard about it here probably first or maybe second. But when it does start getting big and start talked about, you watch, they'll put a spin on it just like everything else. HRV will come out and it'll be like the next best way.
The be-all, end-all.
Yeah, the be-all, end-all. If you're in the red, you have no business training because we've, you know.
Like, it sounds to me like it's going to be an advanced tool.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean?
It absolutely. Like it's irrelevant. It's just like writing down your food for the week.
Yeah.
You know, like, you have to have commitment to do that.
And you have to know what it means.
And you have to know what it means. Yeah, you have to be educated somewhat on, like, why, like,
what to eat and why to eat, you know.
Where exactly. You stand. So, anyway, yeah, it definitely has, you know, advanced.
And it's called HRV.
Feel to it, yeah, for sure. I see it more as a benefit to athletics than I do your average just gym going person.
That's what I mean. Like when you're looking for that real.
I don't really think it's like if I'm just trying to lose weight or, you know what I mean.
I would say the average person.
Not real relevant.
Yeah, because I would say the average person probably doesn't need to worry about getting in the red.
No.
Right? But the gym rats and the hardcore people, that's the that's always the problem.
Yeah, I doubt they work hard enough.
Yeah, and once again, going back to the, it's more sports performance, right? If you're an athlete, if you're a competitor who's...
Well, this is why I'm so, like, I love it because then if this takes more limelight, it's gonna really bust all this, like, CrossFit mentality of, like, you know, super, like, I'm ready for anything intensity. I'm at 100% throttle
all the time,
which is total bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm ready to explode and burn out. Good job.
Yeah.
Guess what? I have like a full tank and I'm ready to charge, you know, like, cause I'm smart. So that's what I want to combat with. I mean, I can't wait, dude. Like it's going to take, and you'll see it like, I also was talking to you guys a little bit about Exos and like it's a training system. It's out of Google, I believe. And they're trying to create this like ultimate, you know, training facility that like, you know, data analysts and all these people are there collecting all this information and they're wearing specific body suits and, you know, it's getting like super ridiculous. It's all the stuff you see on that, like, sports science lab, you know, and like do all those cool experiments and like, you know, what your force is and like how much your ground force
exactly.
is hitting the ground.
I think all that stuff will benefit advanced athletes and advanced trainers. I do not think it'll really have
absolutely.
Much. I think there might be some carryover in terms of how like we understand how to train people. We understand how intensity can be abused. We understand, you know, how the body responds, especially how to train a beginner. So maybe this kind of information will be the subjective data that then will become more mainstream.
Well, that's what I think. You know what I'm saying? I think that because technology is more accessible, like that kind of data, like it's not going to be that hard because you can have it on your phone. You know what I mean? Like
it'll be easier
you had to have these elaborate sensors, like all over your body.
It'll be easier for a person to be like, you're a shitty trainer. I'm looking at my data here. And you just fucked me up.
And seriously, but that's why if you're not listening to this show, you're going to get left in the dust.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you got to stay on top of the times.
Speaking of which, we got to tell our fans to like be cool, man, to the new fans coming in.
Oh yeah.
You see that on the Q&A one?
Well, yeah, I thought it was funny.
It was hilarious.
It was a great little debacle that I saw there.
Should we answer some questions? We might as well.
Yeah. Well, since you kind of just alluded to that there, we probably should go that direction.
Doug, why don't you read off some questions that we can answer?
Yeah, we've got one from Squally Boo Boo, and this is the one that actually started all the
a little bit of commotion
in on the Instagram page. His question was, what is the best split for beginners looking for strength and size?
So he got hammered a little bit because we talk about this all the time. And so our fans are like, you obviously don't listen to Mind Pump.
Brutal.
Come on, guys.
Come on, guys.
Be nice.
Yeah, just, you should point to a specific episode or something.
Be nice to Squally Boo Boo.
Well, yeah, exactly. Remember, I mean, some of you guys have been with us since the beginning. God, we're on like 100, what are we, 140? Where are we at, Doug?
Dude, episodes? I think 145. Cranking them out. Something like that.
Yeah, 145 episodes. I mean, Sal will not shut the fuck up. We got to keep coming. We continually have to come into this studio more and more.
We're capturing every bit.
Originally, when we started this project, Justin and I committed to twice a week. That's it. Now we're up to four times a week. This is ridiculous. Oh, Sal just has way too much to talk about. So. Yeah. But if you are going to, I think it's kind of funny. I kind of like it because I kind of feel like, you know, you see those guys up there like Ian and stuff who's been with us from the beginning.
Right.
Man,
do your homework.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of like, I feel a little a little loyalty towards the guys that have been, you know,
you know, he's new. Yeah. Come on, guys. He's new.
and I think that's the part where I think we'll definitely answer his question because I think it's an opportunity for us to talk about splits, also talk about the way we created and designed maps because ultimately splits are really splits are for kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Most
that was for Justin. I knew Justin would catch that one. Yeah, he went right over Sal's head though.
No, tricks.
Okay, good.
Come on, bro. Come on, bro.
Silly rabbit.
So best split. Most people will respond best to a full body routine 2 to 3 days a week. Most people, period. It allows you to train the body parts more frequently. It allows you to do the big core lifts more frequently. Your body will respond better. You're not destroying a body part to where you can only train it once a week. you know, muscle, you know, in terms of protein synthesis and whatnot within a muscle, it peaks at about 72 hours and it starts to drop. Boom, you hit it again. So full body routines tend to work best for most people. And we've had a lot of people switch now, and we're getting, what are they all saying? We see it, and these are experienced people who would not expect to ever go back.
Long time.
And they're like, oh my god,
it makes an amazing difference. So you know,
so like typical full body workout. You know, you start with squats. You know, move to a back exercise, a chest exercise, shoulders, biceps, triceps. Do some core and some calves, and you're done. One exercise per body part, 3 sets each. Don't go to failure. That's your basic full body routine. There's also, you can break it up into upper lower body. But you kind of get the idea. Now the program that the program that we designed, MAPS, is based around that, but it goes much more into depth. We also break the workouts down into phases, into different types of muscle adaptation, everything from central nervous system adaptation to muscle fiber hypertrophy to sarcoplasmic hypertrophy. Those complicated terms all refer to different types of different ways that muscles respond to and grow and get stronger. And then we included something called trigger session concept, which maintains that muscle building signals on the days off. Kind of like active recovery. So on the days off, you're not necessarily resting, you are stimulating the muscles, but to a much lower degree. So just, that's kind of a general breakdown, I guess, of the MAPS program.
Well, I think a good point to say to our buddy who's asking this right now too, is that if you ever were to ask this to a trainer or anybody for that matter, and they give you a direct answer, oh, this is the best.
Right. Yes.
You know,
right.
Or yes. This is what you
the gotta, only way.
This yeah, is keep what moving. You got. This is what you got to do. Yeah. That's an instant red flag. You know, when you're talking about something, when you're talking about the body, you know, when we're dealing with science and something that's always evolving and changing and adapting, like there is no like the holy grail of a workout, because that's the trick, is that
Too many variables. Everybody's presenting, you know, from whatever, environmental, genetics, you know, you name it.
Exactly. And I feel like this is a lot about what Mind Pump, what MAPS, what this is all about is, you know, we all came together for a reason, and we created this for this exact reason, is because we knew that, okay, between the three of us, that we already had this network of people and relationships that we've built in the Bay Area, plus that we've extended beyond that within the competing world and social media and yada yada. It would have been very easy for us to design the golden workout or the best workout, and to present a bunch of our client success stories and put up a bunch of pictures and sell the shit out of a program over and over and over to people. But that was not what the goal was. The idea was to educate people on the way you're supposed to train the body. And the way you're supposed to train the body is uniquely to every person listening right now.
Yeah, there's general, you know, and I say general again because it's not 100%, but there's general truths, okay? So when I say a full body, you know, 3-day-a-week full body routine, usually that's best. For most people, that's what we've seen. But I said this on the forum too. Somebody asked me, Sal, why are full body routines so much more effective? And of course, this person now has tried them. And I said to them, you know, I gave them the reasons, but I did say to them, there are people out there who are going to respond best to a, you know, traditional bodybuilding split where they work one body part a day, you know, each day. Like Adam was saying, it can be quite unique. There are general truths, but between individuals, the variance can be dramatic. It can be huge. So we're going to give you, based on our experience and what the science says, how most people are going to respond. But then what you need to do is you need to, you know, go with that, take our advice because we know what we're talking about, especially if you're a beginner. And once you do it for a little while, you'll start to learn your body a little bit. Don't be afraid to experiment and to change and to try, you know, different things for yourself to see what works, because I've been training for a long time. And I really know my body pretty well now, way more than I knew my body even 5 years ago.
Yeah, you know? And so, I think it's important. It's the foundation is what it is.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I don't even like telling people like, oh, it's, you know, there's this or do that instead. No.
Yeah, start on the right foot.
Yes, you should do this, like, no matter what. Yeah, I don't care what your goal is.
You should always experiment with that first, is what we're trying to say. And that's how we do it across the board, whether it's nutrition, you know, training, whatever it is, how to be a better person. You know, these are just some of the core values that we see that have science behind them, or, you know, we've experimented personally with, and we have, you know, I mean, I got 12, you know, 15, whatever, you know, how many years we all have in the industry. That's a lot more time than I'm sure most people that are going to ask us questions. And we see it every single day. Like, mm-hmm. you know, the experience is, it's very powerful. It's something that, like, I didn't really consider as much, like, when I was first starting, but, like, just to see it on a daily basis, like, it literally, like, I haven't done anything else. You know, this is all I've been doing. And so, you know, if you're going to ask me a question, like, I'm sorry, but I kind of know more than you. Just FYI.
Well put.
But yeah, so you
for lack of better words.
Yeah.
So
I'm done.
So hopefully that answers your question, Squalid Boo Boo. But if you want more specifics, and something that's totally detailed, broken down, and gives you, you know, examples and videos, demos and whatnot, go to mindpumpradio.com. That's where the program's available. So far, every single person that's purchased it has been very, very satisfied. So, all right, Doug, what do we got?
Cassidy H626.
Is this our girl?
Yes, it is.
Cassidy.
Yo.
Favorite mental lifting cues, especially for the big compound lifts.
Oh, okay.
So, like, this is like when Adam pinches his nipples before he does calf raises.
No, all oh, right. No, yeah. No, I've seen him doing that. It's kind of weird.
I don't know why,
though. That was a physique thing, though.
Yeah, it just helps me. It helps me squeeze, get a better squeeze for some reason.
Do you put your belt on and wrist wrap and then, like, let's do this.
Chalk up your nipples.
Well, why don't we go through some exercises and you guys can tell me some cues and tips that you guys give for that. So
let's start with the big ones. Okay. Let's go with, like, a deadlift.
Okay.
What do you guys have for...
Smelling salts.
Yeah, what are your mental cues for deadlift?
Okay, so one of the things, though, I tell a client before we're even trying to feel or get a cue like that is the rotating of the hips out before they get over. Typically when,
like,
people
stick the butt out.
Yes, and that's actually what I say, because if you tell someone to you know, rotate your hips, that doesn't make sense.
They have no idea what you mean.
Yeah, so I normally visually show them, and I normally, you know, exaggerate what I'm doing and stick my butt way out and mm-hmm. be like,
I like to make sure they take the bar all the way to the shin. Like they start from a really, really close position. And so, like, it's all about that line. So I'm drawing that line vertical up to the ceiling.
So you use a line as a cue?
Yeah.
Tell them, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell a client. So I'll get him in position with the deadlift, and then I'll tell them to, rather than try to lift the bar off the ground, push through the floor.
Yeah,
with their legs.
That's a good one too. I use that
because
you push your heels down
in
the ground.
Yeah, like you're pushing
extend
down.
Extend your hips into the bars. Yeah. You
keep your arms straight and just push down into the floor, like you're pushing the floor down. And I tell this to clients because. When clients try and deadlifts, it turns into a really ugly, you know, back rounded type of deal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for me, when I deadlift, I don't use that cue anymore because I know what I'm doing. For me, I use some mental things that I do with myself is I'll picture, I'll pretend like the weight is glued to the floor and I need to rip it off the floor, or pretend I'm lifting something off of someone, like, oh shit, this car stuck on someone. I'll use these kind of mental games on myself. To pick up a heavyweight.
That's interesting, yeah.
Yeah, so I that's different. That's a little off that.
But. I do kind of like that, like the rip off the ground.
Yeah, I grab the bar and I pretend like the bar is either nailed to the floor.
Yeah, like pound it into the ground and like rip it out.
Like I gotta just rip it. And once I rip it off, it's going to come up real easy.
Yeah.
Because I know for me that with a deadlift, whenever I fail.
Driving force into the ground.
Yeah, once I get it off the floor, sometimes I'll get stuck like 3 inches off the floor.
Uh-huh.
But if in my head, I'm mentally saying the hardest part is the floor. If I can rip this off the floor, it's going to come up quick, and so that's what I do in my head.
Okay. I always, with a deadlift, what else is like this? Squat, well, maybe even a bench press, maybe those movements, because you're generating a lot of power and force to do them, right? Especially if you're lifting heavier in phase one. One of the mental cues I think of is I immediately. Think about contracting my abs and tightening my stomach up and that
the butt pucker.
Yeah. So like, let's say like your deadlift, like you're talking about, right?
the butt pucker.
Right. You, let's talk about the deadlift, right? We just talked about all our cues.
That's how
and we get our form in there, right? Like, so my hips are rotated out, Justin, bring the bar in close. So you're drawing that line straight up. you know, Sal's thinking about ripping off the floor. So you're in position, you're ready to go. And instantly, right before I pull up and move, the first thing I think of is my abs.
Tighten the core.
Brace.
Tighten the,
bracing. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's part of it for sure.
So, because the way you, if you think about it, like you've got everything in position, you're in good form. Mm-hmm. You're not moving yet.
Yeah.
You're in good form. And what's going to keep you in that good form more than anything else is that transverse abdominis, right?
The, the other thing that I just remembered that I just started doing recently, and I'm routinely now pulling five, you know, just for workouts, 520 and above. And before I would always do my heavy single sets would be with like 500, which is not my max, but that's where now I'm like in the 520. I'm getting stronger. And so my grip is becoming more of an issue only because I didn't think about it before. Like I would just hold the bar. Now what I'm noticing is I started to lose the bar a little bit because I didn't focus on it in the very beginning. So now what I'm doing right before I lift the bar is I squeeze the shit out of the bar and then I deadlift. And it just seems to stick better.
Sometimes I'll do that. I'll just I'll do a little lift. So I'll lift it just a little bit off the ground, I'll put it down, then I kind of have like a feel of it, and then I pound it.
Yeah,
and try and get it.
Lift it off.
It's kind of what I do in the bedroom. Just put it in a little bit, then I pound it.
He gets a feel for it.
Is that a good cue?
Yeah.
Oh, this right, guy, Doug. You shave his balls and listen to him.
All right, Doug.
So is that we only gonna go over those?
Oh, we should do more.
Like a power clean. That's too long winded for me to get going on that one. But
what about a bench press?
Bench press.
Okay. So, yeah,
bench press. I have one. I
tend not to do a lot with that. I just go. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, not everybody's as awesome as you are.
But it's kind of like what you said. Like, you know, I don't really think about it anymore. When I first started, for sure, like, you know, I was making sure my hands were in a specific position. You know, shoulder blades were tracked. I'm ready to go.
So what I do, I'll pull my feet back so my legs are kind of tight. Tense my glutes, tense my legs.
I put my heels down so everything's fired up with my legs.
Exactly. Yes. Tense. And then I pretend and I squeeze my shoulders blades back and then down, activate my lats.
Yes.
So it's like I'm doing a downward lat pull down and then I do my bench press. Now my shoulder's is not 100%. I haven't really been able to lift super heavy, so heavy for me now is not like it used to be. Heavy for me now is like 220, 230, 240, maybe 250, and that's it, which is kind of weak for what I used to do. But what about you, Adam?
Well, it's not bad for a small guy like you. I think that's a pretty good amount of weight.
He's serving a lot of underhanded compliments to that.
I am. That's spot on. Exactly how when I bench press, first thing I do, I kind of get my grip in place where I want to grab the bar. And then the very next thing after that is I roll my shoulder blades back and depress them down, and then I'm in that position, you know. And, you know, I have to be honest, though. I've never been because I've never really been a power lifter or, you know, I've trained more power phase in the last 2 years than I have in my entire life. So I've never been a guy who really gets too much focus on his footing to drive more force through his legs, which I know if I was trying to push
it'll help, dude.
Oh yeah, and you're, I mean, yeah. I definitely get it. You know, I've kind of done that now, which is weird. So I tend to incline bench more than anything else now, which is completely opposite of how I used to train. I used to train flat bench all the time. I rarely ever train flat bench right now, and a lot of it is because shoulder. When I start getting heavy weight,
I barely ever bench now too.
Yeah, it's a tough angle. Yeah,
it is.
It puts a lot of pressure.
And I have to say, I've seen way better results from incline pressing than I have from flat. Now, okay, attribute a lot of that to I've been flat for such a long time. Now, all of a sudden, I've seen these huge. Because before, 185 used to be super heavy for me on incline, you know, and now I can hit 315 on an incline, which, I mean, I couldn't even do that on flat back in the day. So obviously, I've evolved a lot and grown a lot over the years, but I also feel like I like the way it just builds my upper chest, shoulder, everything area by from the incline opposed to the flat, and then it gets no stress on the shoulders in comparison to what I was
doing. I got to admit something. I used to do this crazy-ass ritual before I start bench pressing when I was like in high school, I think, when I was like a sophomore. I used to so I basically was doing like a dynamic stretch, right? I started to bring my hands back and emulate like a bench press, but I would do it really fast. I'd be like, and then I would hit it like as hard as I could. Yeah,
that's a good one.
It was ridiculous. I got made fun of for that one, but I was like, dude, this is my thing.
That's a really
good one. And I'd outbench everybody.
That's a really good one.
Yeah.
I like that.
What about squatting? Probably the most technical out of all of these.
Squatting for me is the of all the big lifts, that's the one I need to prep for the most because it's the most difficult for me to do. Even today, it's the most difficult for me to get into the flow, to squat low without some shit hurting. I have to stretch it. I have to warm up a lot before I squat. So I guess when I get into the squat, the bar positioning on my back, it's got to be it's above my rear delts. And I squeeze the bar with my hands and squeeze my shoulder blades back and I stick my chest out. One of the cues that I use when I squat is to stick my chest out and sit down. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise I can be pretty tight, especially when I first start the sets, that if I don't do that, I'll notice that my scapula will round a little bit and I can feel the bar feels a little different on my back. Mm-hmm. So I guess for me, that's one of the biggest cues is squeeze the shoulder blades back.
Yeah.
And to hold the bar in position.
Yeah. Like you, I'm a mess when it comes to squatting. So I have to do a 20-minute warm-up and stretch. And, you made the comment about the other day on one of the podcasts about me, spending 45 minutes in the squat rack. That's a typical squat session for me is 45 minutes to an hour. Mm. It just takes that long for me to really warm it up, get in a groove. Which is funny because I used to, when I rarely squat, not only would I rarely squat before, but I'd rarely squat and then it'd be like five sets and I'm like, I'm the fuck out of here because I'm fucking sweating and tired from this shit. Yeah, this shit's making me nauseous. I'm out of here. Where now, I'll take my time. It's become a very important goal of mine to improve that. And so I want to get good at it. I want to be a good squatter. I want to get my weight up and strength up. And I'm working on building my legs even more because of possibly getting into classics next year. So that's all very important to me. So I have to, like you, there's so many. And I have to be honest that, some days I'll leave and I'll be like, that was a great session. Just no pain. My low back's not on fire. I didn't feel anything in my knees. I was sitting back in the pocket really well. I moved good weight. I just felt great. And then other squat sessions I'll have, and I'll be like, I got through it,
Yeah.
But it was like, eh.
That's like my HRV, I have that same thing, where I have good days, I have bad days. I always feel like as long as there's a mirror, I can keep myself in pretty good
check. Yeah, but you're a pretty natural squatter.
Yeah, well, it doesn't take a long time to ramp up, but sometimes I'll jump too quickly, and then, I'll feel the pressure in my knees. I tore my MCL when I was in college and stuff, so... That kind of stuff will come back, to haunt me if I jump too rapidly. So I do have to ramp it up at a gradual pace. But as far as the mechanics go, it just sort of fits into place, and I go.
Where's your weakest links with the squat? Because I know for me, it's like the thing I got to warm up the most is my hips. It's my hips.
Oh, yeah.
It's not my knees. It's not my, everything. I got to get warmed up, but it's my fucking hips that tend to be a pain in the ass.
Really?
Oh, is it your knees?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I literally.
Yours is the hips too.
I make love to my IT and piriformis and hip flexors for literally 20 minutes, dude.
Yeah.
I have to. I mean, it's all hips for me. If I do not open that all up, I'm a nightmare.
He does it with the rumble roller.
Yeah, dude. I do the nasty roller and everything, and then I do deep stretching . It's quite the routine to me. And then you want to know something funny, and I don't know what this is the first couple sessions or the first couple sets that I do light to kind of warm up are actually more painful, more difficult for me than when I get heavy.
You know why? Same here. I bet your form is better with heavyweight.
Yes,
than
it is.
Me too. It's because you're tight.
Yeah.
So the heavy weight is literally forcing you into a fucking squat.
Yeah.
Whereas the light, if I get into a light bar and try and squat low, I end up doing a good morning half the time and shit because I'm tight. So it's a tightness issue. You know what would be good for us, dude? I hate to say it, bro.
Stretching and yoga.
Yoga.
Mobility.
I'm telling you right now, if we can ever make the time to do consistent yoga like 2 days a week, I bet you it would freaking take us much further with our weights.
You guys wouldn't have to have that whole process going into it.
Oh, my God. That would be so awesome. I just imagine.
Nice, you know what would be great?
Ready to go.
You know what would be great?
What?
If we had a good yoga instructor that's a listener, who would like to offer their services and
train selling out,
and for us to to report on how awesome it was.
Oh, train selling out. Yeah. That would be great.
Selling Adam doing yoga.
Oh God,
God, that would be awesome.
Hey, you know what?
But we have to wear Lululemon if we do.
I'll stick to my stuff.
that's why I was so excited about the stick mobility to come, because once that comes, I feel like that's like masculine yoga.
Exactly.
I like yoga. Dude.
Problem is, it's a bunch of dudes doing it. They're teaching.
I'm not going to do the yoga.
I'd much rather have
stick
the
mobility all day.
All right. Yeah. Do we have any more questions, Doug?
Yeah, we do. Reggie_Aloha wants you to debunk negative calories.
Oh, negative calorie foods?
Yeah. Apparently, people are talking about it, and he wants you to.
So I ate that, and then a black hole went inside my body.
So let me get this straight, because I just want to be clear on it before I talk about how silly this is. So the theory is that you eat something, and because it takes more calories to chew the food and digest it
than the food actually contains,
it's considered a negative calorie,
right? And so,
So what the fuck is like that? I don't know. Bubble gum,
like celery, or
okay.
All right. So that's the theory. In reality, no, it doesn't work that way. They say, okay, so if that was true, then what we could do is we can drink freezing cold water, because your body has to heat it up, right? Mm-hmm. All day long, and we should be able to burn a few hundred calories.
But water isn't calories.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Therefore, it would have negative calories.
Oh, so it's negative after the zero.
Yeah. Whatever negative calorie effect you may get from eating celery or something, number one, probably not true. But number two, let's say if it was, the effect would be so nominal, it would be stupid.
Well, it would be like.
How much of it would you have to eat?
0.5 calories or something.
Yeah, how much would you have to eat in order to freaking make a difference?
Well, I could tell you right now. I mean, I could roughly guesstimate for you, chewing a whole fucking head of
lettuce or
celery. Or yeah, the whole
a
thing.
A lot of freaking, lettuce.
Let's be honest. If you sat down and you went through every one of the celery sticks.
I wish you guys would have just saw that.
Yeah, right. That was a bad visual.
He was going, his hand was to his face.
Ow. Less teeth.
Yeah.
Well, give me a time frame. What do you guys think? Chewing that would take fucking maybe 3 minutes for you to eat a whole thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Of nonstop chewing.
And
nonstop jumping jacks for fucking 3 minutes is only going to burn like fucking 50 calories. So imagine what chewing just with your jaw. So
0.5 calories, calorie. Yeah, let's just say one.
Yeah, let's just say it burns one. Yeah, it's negative one calorie. Okay, well, negative one calorie. Let's see, that's going to take 3,500 days of consistently doing that for it to burn 1 pound of fat off your body. So that's a lot of 3,500.
Well, are they talking about too, like with the negative calorie? Are they talking about like something like alcohol where it puts your body, like it slows your metabolism and all that kind of stuff? I've heard like a.
Does alcohol make you leaner?
Stupid, dude.
Like, seriously, I heard some wacky theory about that.
I have no idea.
That is definitely
I've heard
wacky,
about cold,
not true.
I've heard about people cold water, drink cold water, speeds up your metabolism. You know, of all the things you could do to affect your body composition, if I made a list of 50 things...
They wouldn't even come close to the list.
It wouldn't make the list. If I made a list of 100,000 things, it wouldn't be on that list. So don't waste your time with that kind of stuff. It's baloney.
Yeah.
And baloney is not a negative calorie food.
Yeah, no. It is not a...
Except when it has olives in it, because then I throw it up.
You don't like olives in your...
No, I mean, I just don't like baloney.
Hey, I wanted to...
It's the nasty meat.
That's what Adam calls it.
Oh, so good. I wanted to say thanks to all the people that have been getting on to our iTunes review and reviewing us on iTunes. It's made a huge difference. Not only have we jumped...
Keep doing it.
Yeah. If you're listening to this right now, which I know... You know what? Actually, I'm talking to you right now.
Oh, shit, he got serious.
Here we go. Well, we have 150 or so reviews on iTunes, and trust me, I know how many downloads and listens we have. So there's a huge portion of you guys that have not been on iTunes to review us and give us some love. You guys give us some love like that. It helps all of us out, helps us continue to produce more things for all you guys' listeners.
Here's how you do it on your phone. Go on the podcast icon, click on it, search for Mind Pump, even though you might be subscribed. You got to go to the search function, type in Mind Pump, click on the icon, and then you'll see a section that you can click on reviews. That's the only way to leave reviews on your iPhone.
Yeah, so remember that. That's what you have to do if it's on your iPhone. You cannot just go click. I think everybody I've talked to, they're like, I'm clicking on the icon. You can't just click on it if you already subscribe. You have to pretend like you've never heard of Mind Pump.
Search for it.
Search for it, and then you click the icon, and then you'll see the tab.
And then you can leave a review.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And maybe...
Maybe Salami Stabone will...
I left the review at Salami. I did. Good. I put that. Maybe if you leave a really good one, Doug might... I don't know. What do you want to do, Doug? Send him a naked picture of yourself?
That's a good idea.
That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, I have a bunch.
Let's bring that back.
In my drawer, I need to get rid of.
you printed them out? You know, they must be old.
Is he on a swing on every one of them?
Yeah.
He likes to swing a lot.
I like the one on the rocking horse.
Well, we will be... Yeah. I suppose we can revamp our contest here again.
You want to give out some stuff?
Yes, we'll give out some stuff.
Swag.
Let's set a deadline for this thing. Let's put it at the end of September.
Okay, end of September. Sounds like a song.
It's the end of September.
There's November rain.
You will never get it back.
So top three.
Three?
Top three will get T-shirts once again, because that's what we have.
T-shirts? All right. Sign.
Make it five
Should we
stars.
Sign the T-shirts?
Probably
we'll
not.
Hook you
no?
up.
Oh, you we could.
Yeah, let's sign the T-shirts.
Okay, sign T-shirts.
Sign T-shirts. All right,
so,
beautiful.
Yeah,
I'm just going to outline
what if
my
they, What if they can say the word What if they can say the word balls three times?
No!
Stop that. Stop that.
More shenanigans.
I like when they do that.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.